Good morning. Mark's songs went along well with what I had to share this morning. It's a message on Thanksgiving, being thankful. Thank you, Andrew. And as I thought about this, sharing this week, my mind went to being thankful because of Thanksgiving, and then Jerry sent a little thing the other morning about it was the briefing by Albert Mohler. He puts out one. It's Southern Baptist. He's the head of the Southern Baptist Seminary, something like that, and yeah, it just kind of went right along with what I already had in mind. So, as I thought about Thanksgiving, my thoughts went to what is Thanksgiving? What is it? What are we thankful for? Who are we thankful to? Is it a day we just set aside so that we can get together with friends and family? Who are we thankful to? You know, as I started looking into Thanksgiving, I have a few of the presidential proclamations from times past. The first one I have is George Washington, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I have certain parts of it highlighted. But it's certainly not something that you would hear out of a politician today. Who they are thankful to was stuck out to me, was striking to me. George Washington's says, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God." Just the fact that he referenced the Almighty God. It goes on. It said, "Now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the benefit author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence. And then skipping on down, it says, "And also that we may then unite in most humble offering our prayers and supplication to the great Lord and rulers of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions." He realized that we weren't perfect. I feel like I'm puffing. They realized that we weren't perfect. And a verse that stuck out to me, and I'll read it then after I read Lincoln's yet. Lincoln's proclamation says, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies." This was maybe during the Civil War or shortly after it. "So to these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed, we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God." Dropping on down, it says, "No human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledge us with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those that are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to His tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the fulfillment of to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. And the verse that stuck out to me that we hear so many times is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Both Lincoln and Washington realized where our blessings come from. They also realized that our nation was perverse. Our nation was not perfect. That our nation was in a time of war, time of struggle. But they wanted us to be thankful to God for His blessings that He has. You know, in modern times that we live in today, we have Thanksgiving. We want to celebrate, everyone wants to celebrate Thanksgiving. But how many times is it mentioned that we want to be thankful to God? Thankful for what He has done for us. Thankful for who He is. For His blessings that He gives us. How many people had Thanksgiving and didn't mention God this year? The world, as we know it, the commercialized part of it, they go straight from Halloween candy, Halloween decorations, to Christmas. I was in Dollar General, I think, maybe the day after Halloween, something like that. And they were pulling out the Halloween candy and putting up Christmas candy. And I said, "You're going into Christmas already?" She's like, "Yep." So they go straight from one thing to the next. It's like Thanksgiving is a holiday we celebrate, but you know what? There's not really a whole lot they can sell you over Thanksgiving. They can sell you maybe some napkins and some plates, but certainly not any costumes that we don't need. Certainly not presents, gifts. But then we have Thanksgiving Day, a day to count our blessings, be thankful for all that we have, followed by Black Friday, where we go out and fight for things that we don't need. Jolene says she doesn't fight. And then it's on to Cyber Monday, where we see things that we don't have, that we need. Everywhere we look, they're constantly bombarding us with ads, whether it's Facebook, on the television, whatever it is, things that we don't need. If you watch a kid's program right now, there's nothing but toys that they advertise for. Toys, toys, toys. This Nerf gun, that Nerf gun. These dolls that you can feed water and they'll wet themselves or whatever it is. So what is Thanksgiving? What does it mean? And I'm going to start in Romans. Romans 1. And it talks about, Paul is talking here. And I'm going to read verses 18 to 25. And he's talking about the first couple of verses about God being revealed to men about men knowing who he was. It says for the verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God revealed himself to man." If you look around us, you see his creation. You see the things that he created. It's hard to go anywhere without seeing the beauty of his creation that he made, and knowing that, you know what, there is a God. God created all this. It says, so that they are without excuse. No one should have reason to say, "I didn't know about God." But then verse 21 comes in. It says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful." So even though that they knew who God was, they did not glorify him as God. They did not accept him as where all their blessings came from. As we see our forefathers recognized where the blessings came from that we had. It said, nor were thankful. So not only did they not recognize God as the true God for all he had done for us, but they weren't thankful for what they had either. It says, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Because of their unthankfulness, did not glorify him, nor were thankful. And these two go hand in hand, I think. If you're not willing to recognize who created us and who God is, you're not thankful for what he has, for what he has given you. It says, because of this, they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. How many times do we look at the world and see that as smart as they are, yet they're foolish? Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Verse 25 also says, exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature rather than the Creator. How many times do we see that we are worshiping ourselves? We want to spend time with ourselves. We want to do what we want to do rather than doing what we know is right. The things that we think that we need, we spend all our time getting all them. How does the saying go? You get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. You know, we want all that we can get in life. Unthankfulness. But then I want to turn to Psalms 100. And Psalms is full of little chapters like this. Kevin read Psalm 98 this morning, parts of it. Psalms 100, it's only five verses. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We are to make a joyful shout to the Lord. All you lands, every nation, not just the Jewish people, which it was back then, but everyone, make a joyful shout to the Lord. And the next verse says, serve the Lord with gladness. Kevin mentioned that in the verses that he read. It spoke a little bit about serving the Lord with gladness. We should be glad to be able to serve the Lord. We are glad to be here this morning to worship Him. You know, if a famous person came through here this morning, first thing somebody would do is get him up and give him a place to sit. Get him a glass of water. Get him something that he wants. Same way should be with the way we serve the Lord. We should be glad to do it, willing to do it. Whatever He asks of us to do, we should be willing to do it. And I think the verse that stuck out the most to me in these verses, in the next verses here, is, know that the Lord, He is God. He made us. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. First of all, we need to acknowledge that God is God. Not like the people in Romans who would not glorify Him as God, who would not give Him the glory that He deserved. We need to give Him the glory He deserves. Then we need to realize that it is He who made us. He made me. Not really tall. A little balding on top. Not very fast. A couple years ago, I went to prison to play basketball. You know what nickname they gave me? Slow Motion. Prisoners are brutal. They called me Slow Motion. Every time I got the ball, they'd holler, Slow Motion! But God made me. He made me who I am. And we need to be thankful for that. God doesn't make mistakes, for one. You know, some things we can change, but you know, maybe shouldn't eat so much over Thanksgiving. But God made us who we are. He wants us to be what He made us to be. You know, if I have a piece of paper here and I make a paper airplane out of it, I can make it into whatever I want to, however I'm able to make it. And it's my paper airplane. I made it. We are God's. He made us. He made us for service to Him. We are His people. And He wants the best things for us in life. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11 says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask Him? God knows who you are. He wants the best for us. He's going to give us good things. He's not going to give us things that will hurt us. We may go through struggles in our lives, but He's not going to hurt us. James 1, verse 16 and 17 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God wants what's best for us. He made us. We are His people. He wants to take care of us. As a sheep, we are the sheep of His pasture. He wants us. We've all read the thing where the 99 or one is missing, and He goes out and finds that one. That doesn't mean that we won't ever go through hard times. The first part of James 1 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know, it's through those times when it feels like a struggle in our lives, but yet God is working things through us. He knows what's best for us. We are His people. He made us. And He's continuing to make us. He's continuing to make us better. We know that if there's an egg that's hatching, and you bust it out for it, you know, bust the egg out for the chick that's hatching, it actually does damage to the chick. Or a butterfly that's breaking through its cocoon, if you open it before it's ready to come out, it destroys the butterfly. But it says He lets it, that patience makes us complete. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. He sees our needs. He sees our wants. He wants what's best for us. And then going on into verse 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." These gates he's talking about is the gates of the temple. And we don't have that today. We don't go to the temple to worship. But yet we can be thankful. We can come into His presence. We can be thankful. Today, we are here. We can be thankful to be here today. And then again, it says, be thankful to Him. You know, these things are important. When they repeat things over and over, it's important. Be thankful to Him. If you want to tell somebody something, you tell them over and over again, do this. You know, as a boss, I've had times where I've told somebody, this is the way I want it done. This, do this. I come back and, well, they didn't do it. Well, I wasn't quite sure what you wanted me to do. But if you do it, tell them over and over again, it catches on. He wants us to be thankful. It said, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations." His mercy is everlasting. What is everlasting? Same thing as endures to all generations. It keeps going, keeps going. We can trust Him, knowing that He's going to be there for us. His mercy is going to be there. His truth, it's everlasting, endures to all generations. Another verse, another chapter that stuck out to me as I was reading, comes from Luke. And I told Kevin that I'm preaching out of a kind of a different way than I normally do. And so this is my last scripture that I have this morning. I told him, I said, it might not last very long this morning. It says, Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. It says, "Now it happened as He went through Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when He saw them, He said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving Him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And He said to him, 'Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well.'" Jesus came and He healed these lepers. And if you were a leper, you were basically shut out. Couldn't come into the camp. You basically relied on what people gave you. And there was really no hope of being healed. So when Jesus healed these men, it was a big deal. And yet only 1 out of 9 thought to come back. And I think we can draw from these and learn. It says it not only did he come back and say thanks, he said he fell down. He said when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. Bring glory to him. Fell on his feet, on his face, at his feet, giving thanks. Bring praise. I think it was the last song Mark led. If I remember the number on it. Praise to God in mortal praise. The verses go, praise to God in mortal praise for the love that crowns our days. Bounteous source of every joy, let that praise our tongues employ. For the blessings of the field, for the stores the gardens yield, for the joy which harvests bring, grateful praises now we sing. Clouds that drop refreshing dews, suns that genial heat diffuse, flocks that whiten all the plain, yellow sheaves of ripened grain. All that spring with bounteous hand scatters over the smiling land. All that liberal autumn pours from her overflowing stores. These, great God, to thee we owe, source whence all our blessings flow. And for these our souls shall raise grateful vows and solemn praise. All these things that we have, all the blessings of life that we have, come from God. He is our creator. He is our sustainer. He is our provider. He makes things grow. In Malachi, it talks, I do have one more scripture. Malachi, it talks about tithes. And we often use it as a tithing chapter. It says, chapter 3, verse 8 through 12, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not enough room, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So many times we as people think that if I go out there and plant something, it's going to grow and it's going to yield a harvest. But God is where we get our strength from. God is where we get everything that we have. It says, I will pour out on you such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. How many times have you seen trees that don't bear fruit? One of the places where I mow, she's got a field with, I don't know, probably 8-10 pecan trees. And there's 2 of them, I think, that produce pecans this year. Just because it's a fruit tree, just because it's a pecan tree, doesn't mean it's going to produce pecans. Or pecans, whichever way you say it. But from God, verse 5 again of this song says, these great God, to thee we owe, source whence all our blessings flow. And for these our souls shall raise grateful vows and solemn praise. God is our provider. When things just happen to go our way, God is there. We should be thankful to Him for the many things that He's blessed us with. We should be thankful, not just an attitude of gratitude. It's easy to say thank you to somebody for holding the door. Thank you for this. But we should be thankful to God for the many blessings that He gives us. Thankful that He allows us to have another new day. He is the one. Without Him, we wouldn't be here. So let's be thankful to Him as we go. Let's not skip over this day as a day of just the day that we get together, day we celebrate, day we don't have to work. One more holiday between Halloween and Christmas, a day just to watch football and eat food. Let's be thankful for the many blessings that He gives us. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to You today and want to thank You for Your blessings. Father, thank You for the free country that we live in, that we can gather and we can worship You. You bless us with so many things, and yet we take them for granted so many times. Father, I just thank You for all that You have done for us. Most of all, I thank You for Your Son. You sent Him to the earth to live and to die for our sins. Father, I just ask that You would just be with us today as we go from here. Father, I pray that You would help us to share Your light to those we come in contact with. Father, I pray that our attitude of thanksgiving would be a blessing to those we come in contact with. Father, I just ask that You would just be with us today. Go with us and keep us. In Your name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.